What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
Yo. What's happening?
We're here. Folks?
What's going on?
We're here.
We're back. We're actually so back, some might say.
All of us with wins.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Hey,
We got to win.
No.
You know?
Nope.
Did you? Nope. Did you?
Yeah, we sure did, Keaton. We absolutely got to win.
Let's look at this real quick.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, you guys got a win this week by not playing football. That's a win mentally for you, I should say.
You know what? It was great. It was yeah. Awesome.
Setup was perfect, Anthony.
So.
Lob.
Yeah.
James.
Oh, anyways, James. Anyway.
How you guys doing?
We're here.
How's the week?
Good. Week was good. Took a double win this week, so I can't complain.
Yes, sir. Hey, I did good, too, man. Actually. First time in a while.
Nice, dude. Fuck yeah.
Anthony, sorry. How's your week?
No, you're fine. Good. Didn't have to watch the Patriots play. I may have lost in fantasy, but still made it in the playoffs because T.Lou lost. So that's a win in my book. So
insane. I'll we got to talk about that later. We got to talk about that later.
We'll talk about that.
That'll be
we'll
later. Over all that.
Cool.
But yeah, well, that's good. Keaton, how's your week?
Week was good, man. Just got a lot going on before Christmas. So just trying to get it all taken care of. So can't complain.
It's a holiday season.
Holidays. Cool.
Well, my week is pretty good too. 49ers won. Yeah,
sorry.
I'm really busy with work. Been having some good workouts. Can't complain. Ready to talk some ball though.
We're going to talk ball. We're three ball knowers. We're three ball knowers. And we got a lot to say. Oh, no. Yeah. We know balls.
We know
big old hairy ones. Big old brown oblong balls, baby.
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just
right.
This is a great
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
God, I love that intro.
Week 14.
So good. The plot just thickens every single fucking week with that intro, too.
Plot thickens, man.
Jared Goff not being a top 5 NFC quarterback is insane by me. That is not true, but we will move on.
Well, I appreciate you being honest about that.
Yeah.
But look, man, week 14, we had a crazy week of football. A lot of favorites winning. Ultimately, and we had some sloppy, ugly, shitty games.
A lot of shitty games,
and some great games. So, look, without further ado, we're just gonna jump right into this episode. Look, week 14, man. Let's get the music rolling. Let's get the music jumping. There we go. We can't hear that. All right. Look. Thursday night football, week 14. That'll be NFC North contenders. Packers trying to down the Lions. Can't happen. Mufasa stays strong. Lions win that game 34-31. Moving into Sunday morning, Saints. Saints played an ugly game, man. But hey, interim head coach Darren Rizzi's 3-1. Saints take down the Giants 14-11 at home. or on the road, I should say. Browns played the Steelers. Man, oh man. The Steelers just keep winning. They can't stop. We're going to get more into that game later, but the Browns fall to the Steelers 14-27. Steelers take that win and move on to 10-3. Falcons playing the Vikings. Man, oh man, Kirk Cousins can't get out of his own way. 8 interceptions, no touchdowns. This game was no different. Vikings take the game in convincing fashion, 42-21 at home. Raiders playing the Bucs, man. A game that I thought maybe might have been more competitive if Aiden O'Connell wasn't Fumbles O'Flanagan. They lose 13-28. Panthers at the Eagles, a game I told my buddy who's an Eagles fan, this might be a trap game. It looked like a trap game. And unless, you know, you take out that fourth quarter, you would have thought the Panthers would have won this game. They lose a close one, 13-22. Eagles move on to be second in that division. And man, they look to move into first, hopefully with some crazy weeks going on. Jags playing Titans. Oh my God, this might have been the worst week of football we've ever seen. Jags win 10-6 against the Titans. One of the ugliest games I've seen in a very long time. Who knows how long. Then moving forward, we got Jets at Dolphins, man. Dolphins continue to find ways, man. They just continue to win. Their playoff hopes are still alive. They take this game 32-26. Don't look now. Tua Tagovailoa might be breaking Drew Brees' record. Seahawks at Cardinals. That defense is playing out of their mind in Seattle. They take that game, get a very commanding lead in that division, 30-18. Kyler Murray, 2 first half interceptions, and Seattle keeps on rolling, 4 straight for them. Bills at Rams, arguably one of the most exciting games of the season. If you love offense, if you hate defense, or if you love defense, this might have been the worst game. Bills lose 42-44 against the Rams at home. Rams just find a way against good teams and then lose against bad. That's their mantra. Finally, our last game of the Sunday day slate, Bears at 49ers. Zach finally picked against the 49ers and paid dividends. The Bears go down, not even swinging. They played like shit. 49ers yes, win at home 38-13. Convincing win. Brock Purdy beating the system quarterback allegations right before our very eyes. Sunday night football, our last of 2 games, Chargers at Chiefs. I don't know how the Chiefs keep doing it, man. Voodoo magic is ripe in the air in Kansas City. You'd think they got immigrants from New Orleans with how bad it's been with their dark magic. They take that win 19-17. Finally, our last game, two of the sloppiest, most disappointing teams in all of football this year, Bengals at Cowboys. Bengals take that game 27-20 against the Cowboys. Man, is it time for Micah Parsons to throw it up in Dallas? Who knows? But what we know, Cowboys suck. The Cowboys yes, suck. And that yes, is do. Your Week 14 recap. Let's go ahead and break down some games. All right.
Oh, so what a week. I mean,
what a week. What
we
a week.
Potentially had the best game of the year or best game of the season and the worst game of the season in the same week.
Yeah, incredible.
I think we did. And then we probably had the sloppiest game of the year and the most lucky game of the year with the Chiefs, or maybe that's every week for them. But
every week.
Yeah, we had some crazy weeks. I know that, you know, there's been a couple of them where we've mentioned the Chiefs in the past, but this one was different. I felt like the Chargers were going to pull it out. Their defense let them down yet again, and we'll talk about that later. But
sure.
Keaton, let's get into some of those main games.
One of the first games I want to talk about, fellas, are the Packers legitimate? Are they underrated? Are they overrated? I don't know what you guys want to say about this. Personally, I think they're evenly rated. Now, I will say they've been a little disappointing in a couple of games, but you know, you take Jordan Love, the fact he's been injured for a fair chunk of this season, I'm not too concerned about them.
Wait, who?
And Jordan Love.
Oh. Wait, sorry. Who is that? You mean Brett Favre?
Yes.
No, Brett Favre 2.0. That's what it is.
Yes. Jordan Toyota-thon Love. Jordan Toyota-thon Love.
It just wasn't clicking. I apologize.
Yeah. The mirror image. Yeah, fellas, what do you think? Do you think the Packers are evenly rated? Is it just the Lions team is too good for them? What's their ceiling here?
I think that they're evenly rated, honestly. I think they're very well rated as a team overall right now. I think it just shows too. Like they were going toe to toe with the Lions there for a little bit. Good job on that offense, great job on that defense overall. Do I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl or NFC Championship? Probably not. But overall, though, right now, they look like a solid squad. They're kind of fun to watch, honestly. I think they'll just keep developing as the years go on, and they could make it to NFC Championship / Super Bowl. Maybe soon they need to make a few more tweaks to the team. But overall, though, I think they're a very solid team, though, right now. I don't think they're overrated or underrated.
Okay. I like it. Zach?
Yeah. I mean, I agree completely with you guys. They're completely evenly rated. And I want to say this about both these teams. Number one, I don't see the Packers winning more than a game in the NFC. I don't see it. Once they face the Eagles or the Lions, I think they're going to lose. I will say, though, them against the Vikings would be very interesting in the playoffs because I see them as kind of like the same tier. Sure. Vikings are probably a little ahead of them, but I think they're evenly rated. And the one thing I will say about the Packers is that defense is like so hard to read. There's some games where they play insane and their cornerbacks and secondary lock things up. And then they have a game like this where Jared Goff goes for 283 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 109.7 rating against that defense where he's just throwing all over them. So they're kind of hard to read. The Lions, though,
their defense is a dominant team.
I'm just saying, man, they're starting to show their weaknesses. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think more guys coming. Right. Sure.
Yeah, they got more guys coming in and out of that lineup than Lily Phillips has in an OnlyFans video. So
okay, all right. The one thing that I will say is the Lions have been probably the best team where it comes to just plug and playing guys that are second stringers that are still able to play in a system that's great. Right? They have great coaching. Sure. And I will say they are starting to get to the point now where it's looking a little bit scary with injuries. And they're winning. They're winning. But in the playoffs, you don't win tight games against these really good teams playing the way you do with all the injuries. And again, I want to say this. Dan Campbell, not seeing this as a Niners fan or an NFC hater just because I really don't like a lot of the NFC teams, I think Dan Campbell could potentially lose them a game in the playoffs. He did last year. He did against us. He did against us, and it could definitely well happen again this year. He is so ballsy. I mean, with that fourth down, it doesn't make sense. Analytics tell you never to do that. You have the ball in their possession or in their side of the field. You kick the field goal. All you have to do is let the clock run out. And he said that he wanted the ball in his hands for the last seconds on offense. It did not make sense.
I respect the hustle, but sometimes you got to be smart.
I do, but fuck, man, that's an L. That's an L against a good team, and we saw it with the fucking Niners last year. So both those teams, good. I think both of them are properly rated. Nothing really to talk about more about that game, in my opinion. I think it was a great game. That's really it.
Okay. Well, look, moving on to our next game. Okay, I got to be honest. We owe Russell Wilson an apology. I'm sorry, King. I disrespected you. I hated on you once. I love you again. You are a man amongst children. Even though you're sized like a child, you stand up. You know, look, the Steelers, man, they just keep doing it. They're 10-3 in the second hardest division in all of football, arguably. And Russell Wilson, since he's coming to that lineup, they have changed everything. And look, people were upset that Justin Fields was taken out. Russell Wilson has transformed that offense to a juggernaut that – shit, I don't know what we've ever seen since prime Ben Roethlisberger.
Look, I'm going to say this. That defense has always been elite. Mike Tomlin has had the best defense year in and year out.
The guy's a great coach. I'm sorry, Tomlin.
Since he's been coaching. But there are some things and some apologies that we owe to coaches. Mike Tomlin, one of them, because we called him 500 boy. And Nick Sirianni, who now is possibly the coach of the year. So,
yeah.
You look at some of these guys, and Mike Tomlin, like we've said, since Big Ben hasn't really had an elite quarterback, has had an elite defense. That defense swarms the fuck out of you, dude. They are elite. And Russell Wilson, man, watch the fuck out.
Is he elite? Watch
out.
Is Russell Wilson elite?
He's playing great. He's playing like a top 15 quarterback. I'll say that.
He's playing very well.
Again, is that enough to win you a Super Bowl?
Yes. I don't know. Yes. But yes. You know what? It won him a Super Bowl in 2013. He was never the guy.
Isn't like that, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? They're good enough. You know what I mean? They're good enough.
Yeah, and they have good running backs, and he realistically has just opened up that offense. Like, that is the main thing. J. Justin Fields, great. You can run all over the field. You can be a game manager. He really is a game manager. He won't turn the ball over like a ton. He does have that one. I mean, we look at this, Russell Wilson, it reminds me of that 2013 season. He has three interceptions on the whole year. He's and played 12 touchdowns, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games.
He's balling.
7 games, 3 interceptions, 12 touchdowns, 1,800 yards, and a QB rating of 103.9.
Yep. He's hooking. He's hooking and cooking. On the other side,
would not want to play the Steelers.
Look, on the other side, though, you know, we'll move on a little bit, but Jameis Winston, man, I mean, the guy is literally 30 for 30 again. He had 4 touchdowns the last game and 4 interceptions. He now has 2 interceptions this game and 2 touchdowns. The guy just can't stop.
13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Yeah.
He in the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks has 8 interceptions.
You know what's funny? You know what's so funny? Look, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it, but it's funny that him and Kirk Cousins have the same amount of interceptions over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Do with that what you will.
Dude.
But I would not be shocked if Michael Penix starts by the end of the year.
I mean, you look at this, you look at his rating. It goes 115.3, 50.5, 106.7, 76. It's like, Jameis.
He just can't. He's just Mr. I respect the consistency of the touchdown to interception ratio. Yep. It stays the same. Yep. Look, Bills versus Rams, man. Fellas, was this the best game of the season?
Hey, absolutely.
Was this one of the best games of the entire NFL history of regular season games? In regular season history? I think so.
I want to say this.
Say something, Zach.
If you're the NFL, you got to start putting the Rams just in primetime games. Because whenever the goddamn Rams play in a primetime game, it's the game of the year. We saw it with the Chiefs when they scored 50. Yes, Vikings game, crazy. Bills, I mean, dude, it happens every fucking year. And we all picked the Bills to win this game. I mean, the way the Bills have been playing, we were like, fuck
it. I think I said the game might be close.
I think I said that too. Maybe.
That was close as hell. And look, there's another question that I know that you're dying to ask. Keaton, go for it, because I do want to talk about this. So,
does this loss affect Josh Allen's MVP chances?
Yes, it definitely does.
I don't think so.
In a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
His MVP fucking chances went up after that game. If you guys don't know, Anthony, read off his stats, please.
So let me break it down to last week's game first, okay? Let me just start off with that one, right? Last week, he hit an NFL record of first quarterback to get a receiving touchdown, a passing touchdown, and a rushing touchdown. Now this week, this past week that just happened against the Rams, he had 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns in the same game as well. That's insane. That's unheard of.
Never happened.
Never happened.
Has never happened.
2 weeks in a row now, Josh Allen has broken 2 NFL records. 2 weeks in a row.
I mean,
look, we're talking about apologies. About
him and NFC West teams.
We're talking about apologies. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Josh Allen. Yeah. I doubted you.
Yeah.
I have been your biggest hater. Hey.
Yes.
Hey, look, we'll talk about another team in just a moment here to a quarterback I won't apologize to. But look, Zach, what do you think, man?
I mean, I want to talk about this later, but I think it's appropriate to talk about it now. I mean, this is probably the tightest MVP race we've had in 5 to 10 years. It is insane. Josh Allen now leads because of what he's done the last 2 weeks. But if you look at this, I mean, we have 3 guys that are just clearly balling out. And then there's a 3rd guy. We're not even actually a 4th and 5th guy that we're not even talking about on the same team. So top 3, we have Josh Allen. He has a 64.1 completion percentage, 3,333 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and a rating of 101.9. That does not include his rushing touchdowns or rushing yards. In the last 2 games, he's had a rating of 141.3 and 117.2 with 5 interceptions and roughly 600 yards. Saquon, on the other fucking hand, has 1,623 yards, an average of 6.1, 11 touchdowns, and 29 receptions. I don't know if he has a touchdown with a receiving or not, but that is another guy who just broke the single-season Eagles rushing yard record.
Shout out Shady McCoy.
Again, he's also in the MVP talks. And then we have Lamar Jackson.
Actually,
who has won twice now.
Hold on. BetMGM has Jared Goff higher than Lamar Jackson. Just pointing that out there.
That's insane. That's
insane. I think that's insane. I think that's a little insane. Jared Goff had a 5-interception game. Can't take that away from him. But yeah.
And then we have Lamar, though, with these stats. 67% completion percentage, 3,290 yards, 29 throwing touchdowns. I know he has rushing as well. 3 interceptions and a fucking rating of 116.3. And then we could look up Jared Goff. I mean, fuck, dude, the list goes on. Jared Goff, 72.4 completion percentage, 3,265 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and a rating of 109.0. And then there's two guys that we didn't even mention. The Triple Crown fucking leader right now, and our boy, Ja'Marr Chase, who has been going crazy. And we talked about him a little bit. We're big fans, but he has been going nuts, and he's actually leading the league in touchdowns, yards, and receptions comfortably. So he is the Triple Crown leader right now as we speak. And then Joe Burrow, who has obviously been on a shit-ass team, putting up the best stats he's ever put up.
Yep.
So It is a crazy MVP race right now. Personally, I'd give it to Josh just because I don't want to see Lamar win it again. But if you were to tell me Lamar or Saquon would win it, I would say fine. I'm not going to argue with
right.
you.
Yeah, 1A, 1B.
Actually, if you have the odds right now.
I have the odds.
Yeah.
Do you want to know?
I'm curious.
Can you? Okay. I'll read the first four and see if you can guess the fifth. Josh Allen, number one, at minus 450. Okay. Saquon Barkley at plus 400. So not too far away. It's like a 30%, you know, it's like a 60% chance, right? Jared Goff at 1,300. Lamar Jackson at 1,400. Guess who sits at 4,000?
Derrick Henry?
Nope. He's a quarterback.
Is it?
Oh, wait, my God. Patrick goddamn Mahomes.
Fifth. At fifth in BetMGM odds. Believe it or not, at plus 4,000.
Let me read off Patrick Mahomes' stats.
Yeah, let's just pull this. Hey, look, hold on. Before you do that, let's move into the next game. Let's move into this game.
Yes, so we can look.
They can't keep getting away with that. They can't. But they do. Look. The devil magic is ripe. You want to know how I got these scars? Kansas City. Oh, man. I can't. They can't keep doing this. Kansas City, we get it. You're having fun. Awesome. When you guys get absolutely ham-hocked in the playoffs this year, I don't want to hear it. The signs are on the wall.
Dude.
Because I'm going to be honest. The Chargers offense is not good. And great. The Chiefs defense played good. They almost lost to the damn Chargers, a team you never lose to. And you win by 2 in the last seconds. Raiders, Chargers. Could we list off the teams that they're barely beating right
11
now?
11 wins.
11 wins. Go ahead.
I know you have a crazy stat. Go.
So, according to all these one possession wins that the Chiefs have gotten, legit last second too, right? Everything, right? You can count it all throughout this entire season. You know what their record would actually be right now? Just take a wild guess right now.
If it was flipped right now.
If those one possession games,
12-1?
12-1. If those one possession games did not happen, right? If what happened never happened, right?
If it was flipped, guess what their record would be. Yeah.
So what would it be?
2-10. 2-10.
Yeah.
2-10.
You're right. Or 2-11. One of the two. I'm telling you. Yeah.
This is just the 2022 Vikings recoded into the Kansas City Chiefs in 2024. I'm telling you, it's the exact same team. Except they're just more well-balanced and better coached. They're disciplined.
Taylor Swift is up in the suite making a deal with the freaking devil.
She's making a deal with
fucking
the devil.
She is the devil. Game,
I don't want to hear it.
It comes down to the last fucking second, and they're more goddamn disciplined. That's what it is. And it's hard to fucking argue that they're the same team as the Vikings in 2022 because that team was not well coached or as well coached as the Chiefs. That team did not have Patrick Mahomes. That team did not have the best defensive coordinator and special teams coach in the league. This Chiefs team has the best coaching, the best quarterback when it matters, and they are disciplined as hell. They are never undisciplined, and it happens. But that's not a recipe for success in the playoffs.
Nope. And you want to hear something crazy? Last four wins, they have won by a combined. Let's read this up. Chiefs versus Broncos, win by 2. Chiefs versus Panthers, win by 3. Chiefs versus Raiders, win by 2. Chiefs versus Chargers, win by 2. That is a combined 11 points for their last four games that they have won by. I'm sorry. And you know what? This would be so ironic if they win it all and they just keep doing it like
this. It would be because this would be the first
they just find ways. They just find ways. They just find ways. And
I just looked it up. The Chiefs' point differential on this whole fucking year is 56 points. 50 fucking sixth. They're ranked 26th in the fucking league and they're 12-1. How the fuck are they doing this?
Yeah,
the worst part about this.
Look at this. Look at this. I want to share this. I need to share this with you guys.
Go for it.
Look at this, dude. This is the point differential for every team that has started 12-1. So not 26th in the year, but for every team that started 12-1, there has been 26 teams that have done. They are the worst. They are the worst
by far.
By three.
I said it too.
33 points. Dude, look at this. By game, the most was against New Orleans. They lost to fucking Buffalo. The rest of them are 3, 4, 5. It's like, dude.
I told you they're the worst 12-1 team in the league ever.
12-1.
I told you.
Well, now we say ever. Yeah.
56 most divided fraudulent. By 3.
But you know what? You know what? This team just. Used to win, man. Unfortunate.
You know what's stupid, too? By 13. They are averaging a point differential of +4 every game, and they're 12-1. It's insane. Like, I'm going to look up some of these teams, too. Now, I got to look it up. Like,
what frustrates me, too, is that these Chiefs fans, straight up, like, they complain. Like, last game, I saw in these comment sections that they were – that these fans, they were actually complaining, like, oh man, the refs didn't miss calls on this and this. I'm all like, shut up. I don't want to freaking hear that shit.
Yeah, it's just, dude, I don't even know. Like, this shit is actually insane. Like, I don't know how this is even possible. Like, and it's just, it's tough because we've never seen a fucking team like this. Like, they've gone back to back. And we're at the point now where we say they're 12-1 and they're the worst fucking 12-1 team of all time. They 1,000% could win the Super Bowl this year. 1,000%. And let me show you this.
Just because they've done it twice.
I am curious. Lions compared to some of the other great teams in the NFL this year, 2024. Point differential for the Lions, 183. +183. They have almost multiplied the Chiefs by 2.5. Excuse me, 3.5.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I've just never seen anything like this.
Almost 4.
Excuse me.
Look, I just, and you know it sucks. They're just going to keep doing it. It's just going to, at some point, it's going to collapse for them. And, but maybe it doesn't.
The only thing that's scaring me just a little bit, Keaton, is Patrick Mahomes is low-key heating up at the right time. The reason I say that is just 3 weeks ago, his touchdown to interception ratio was 15-11. So 15 touchdowns to 11 interceptions, right? His total this year is a 68.1 completion percentage, which is one of his lowest ever in his career. Excuse me. It's one of his highest. I apologize. 3,000 yards, which is one of his lowest. That's what I meant. 3,189 yards. 20 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and then a rating of 92.0, which is also his lowest besides his rookie year. My apologies for the beginning of that. However, last three games, he's played the Panthers, Raiders, and Chargers, going up against one defense that statistically has been great. The two other ones have been horrible. However, you look at his stats and it's a little bit concerning because they're 12-1 and he's starting to heat up against the Panthers. He had a 73% completion percentage, 269 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, 120.2 rating. Very Patrick Mahomes-like game. Raiders, 56.5 completion percentage, not great. 306 yards, one touchdown. Chargers, 210 yards, one touchdown. And in that span of three games, he has thrown zero interceptions. In the last seven games, he has thrown two interceptions. So when we talk about a disciplined team, unfortunately, they have to be one of the most we've ever seen. They don't turn the ball over much. They honestly, every single game, lock down your wide receiver one, your running back one, and beat you in special teams. It's every single game. And we've seen it. They've won most of their games by one possession. Yeah, I think it was like, Anthony, what was it that we saw? Like the last, out of the last 12 games that they've been in a one score game going into the fourth, they're either 11-1 or like, what was it? The last 10, they're 10-0 or 10-1 or something like that.
Probably 10-0.
I don't think they've lost in the last 12 games or something. Something crazy. No,
they're so, only lost was to the Bills, and that was, you know, whatever. So, look, we're going to stay on that same topic there. You're talking about Patrick Mahomes heating up at the right time. We're going to jump into a little bit of our news, but let's talk about someone that's heating up at the wrong time. Let's talk about head coach Jerod Mayo, because his seat is getting lukewarm. Okay, just maybe a little bit more lukewarm. You know, it's in the microwave right now. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, NFL rumors surrounding the New England Patriots right now, basically saying that Jerod Mayo is reportedly coaching for his job over these next final four games. This report officially coming from NBC News. I'm sorry, Audacity, who basically came out and said Ty Law, I believe a Ty Law comes out, and let me just verify what this guy does, because I believe he's an insider. Okay, so Ty Law used to play for the Patriots. He's an insider with the team. He's got inside connections. He goes on a radio station and basically said he's pretty much playing for a season. That Jerod Mayo, if he sucks these next four games, it's kind of over. Now, I don't personally know if I believe that, and I don't know if you guys believe. And Ant, I'll let you kind of break this down since this is your team. But one of the stats I did want to say is at this current point in time, the season ended today, this will be the worst Patriots team since 1981 by win-loss record. Now, I personally, and you watching at home, I don't think Jerod Mayo deserves to be fired. Let us know if you think that's the case. But Ant, what do you think, man?
See, it's tough because I see a few different things here. One, I honestly love the energy he brings to this team. This team actually looks like they're alive and they want to play football when they go out there, no matter if they lose or not. You could check the footage from last season, right, of Patriots games. They just looked depressed out there, man, and it was just depressing and it sucked. Like, I like asked Zach last season, like, I think that energy honestly brought it onto me because I was like, you've seen in the intro clip, wait, right? Like, it was awful. But this year, I'm actually seeing life within that team, right? However, the team is not great either, though. That's the thing. We have a quarterback, we have a running back, and we have a top five cornerback in the league. That's what we got. We're not really working with much right now. Should he be fired? No, but
I don't think it's early. It's too early.
I think it's too early. I agree.
He took over one of the worst offenses and defenses.
The team won four games last year.
Yeah, he took off one. He took the coaching job of probably the worst or second worst roster in the league.
Yeah,
what do you expect?
I didn't expect much.
And Ant, you can continue. I'm sorry. I just wanted to put that in there because that was great. I mean, it's a top five worst roster in the league still.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't expect much out of this year. At least they're fun to watch because of Drake May. I'm super happy about Drake May. He's played fantastic, honestly. One of the better rookie quarterbacks. He's top three rookie quarterback, in my opinion.
Yep.
Agreed.
I don't know. I don't think he should be fired. I kind of hope now that the Patriots do continue to lose, because for that higher draft pick at this point, I hope my prediction's wrong, because I said 4 wins, but now I'm saying screw that. I'm solidified and I'm happy with the 3 wins. Let's just go for that early draft pick at this point. I don't know, man. I don't think he should be fired, though. I say give him another season. See how this draft is. Give him another season. Even if it's halfway through the season, it's still absolutely awful. And say, for example, you know, we get, you know, just hypothetically, like a Travis Hunter or someone like that from the draft. And on top of that, say we end up getting T. Higgins off of the waivers or whatever, right? Off of free agency. And we're still bad. Fire him mid-season.
Off the waivers.
Yeah, sorry. Fantasy kicked in my brain right there. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't think of the word. But yeah.
No, honestly, and I couldn't agree more with you. There's no way you should fire him after the first year that he took over a team with the worst roster. I'm sorry. Or one of the worst in the league. And realistically, these are not his guys. No. He didn't do anything this offseason with these guys, right? So you allow him to draft some guys. You allow him to come in and actually bring in some players this next year. And if they lose 14 games and they're horrible again next year and they don't improve at all, then you fire him. But if they go 6-12, they win 7 games, 6 games, how could you say he's not rebuilding? Right. Like, at that point, you have to give him and keep him his job, because he's doing his job. I mean, he took over a team that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well,
look, I agree completely with you, Ant.
Sure. Speaking of someone who is doing their job and deserves more justice, who's also on the Patriots, our glorious king, KJ Osborne, mutually agreed to part ways with the New England Patriots after his worst season with the team and his first season with the team. This comes off a year in which he had 600 targets, 599 receptions, 60,000 yards, and then 55 touchdowns this season. We can't hear that. Can't hear that. I feel like you're playing Marvin's Room.
He is playing Marvin's Room.
It's like copyrighted, stupid. Dude. We're going to get taken down. This video is going to get – we're not going to make any money now. Look. KJ Osborne, in all seriousness, man, he had a brutal year. The Raiders, Patriots, I just don't necessarily think knew how to utilize him to his strengths. He played 7 games this year, had 18 targets, 7 receptions, 57 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Holy shit.
The guy
shit,
was basically a non-factor.
18 receptions?
Coming off of, you know, I mean, it's 18 not
targets.
Yeah.
He had one reception per game.
And he's averaged 50 receptions over his last 3 seasons. So this was a substantially down year. Couldn't really stay healthy. And again, he mutually parts ways with the Patriots, man. It sucks. That's our boy. We hope he's doing well.
Hey, man.
Hey.
We always got a spot for you on this podcast. Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Our glorious king. Yes. We are rooting for you.
Someone who didn't agree to mutually part ways with their team, but still sucks. The Browns are moving on from wide receiver Kadarius Toney after what, 2 weeks with the team, which saw him drop a fucking kick return. You do not play for the Seahawks. You don't do this. You were drafted in the first round. You suck. Hey, Lil Uzi shit. Lil Poozy Vert. That's what you UFL. Are. You're Lil Poozy Vert. Wong Gong, Shin Hong, Bing Bong, Ow. Bing Chilling. That's where you're going, dude. Have fun in Guangdong, China, buddy. You're a Guangdong Tiger. Enjoy it.
Oh, man.
Look, Kadarius Toney.
God damn. He sucks. He sucks.
He sucks so bad.
He can't catch anything. He's got to lead the league in drops, or he's got to be second behind Quentin Johnson in the last 2 years. I mean, those two are just competing for the best UFL wide receiver right now.
He played He played 3 games with the team, had 1 target, no receptions, and somehow still managed to fuck up catching a goddamn football.
On a Browns team,
man.
That does not have a great wide receiver core.
No, the guy
to the UFL.
Yeah, him and welcome Quentin to the Johnson, UFL, man.
They're already fighting for the best wide receiver in the UFL as we speak.
Yeah, yeah. Bucks, send him back to college, man. He's got a year of eligibility left.
Imagine if Kadarius Toney goes to the Niners.
Yeah, stop.
Dude, they would turn him into a monster.
Stop.
Somehow they would turn him into a monster.
Yeah. Troy.
Just look, a skinny Debo.
Yeah. speaking of monsters, Troy Aikman says he expects Grimace from McDonald's, Mike McCarthy, to remain the Cowboys' head coach next season. He says, and I quote, "I sense that it's a team that really believes in Mike McCarthy. I feel the locker room wants him back. I think he's a really good football coach. I believe Jerry Jones thinks he's a really good football coach too. As we stand and talk right now, I expect Mike McCarthy to be back in 2025. Now, if you heard that without knowing who said that quote, Troy Aikman, you might think Helen Keller said that. Because who in their right fucking mind thinks Mike McCarthy has done a good job with the Cowboys over the last however many seasons he's been the coach since Jason Garrett was removed?
No one.
I personally think he's been awful.
They've been nothing but disappointing year in and year out. And this has been the worst fucking year they've had in five.
Yeah.
So yeah. Bad. I mean,
dude, how has not been fucking fired is beyond me, honestly, beyond me. And I'm not saying a lot of guys could go in there right now just based off of who are free agents and do better just because that roster has been disappointing too. But Mike sucks. He sucks. He got fucking carried by Aaron Rodgers. His whole career has been overrated. Overrated. He goes to a Cowboys team that is loaded with talent. Loaded. I mean, they have players up and down their roster that are top five or top 10 in their positions, respectively. Yeah. And one of them, Micah Parsons, who we're going to be talking about right now, because yeah. I want to bring yeah. this up. This baby,
I'm going to play the video. The I'm going to play the video. Micah Parsons pulled an Antonio Brown and left the field
fucking
early.
Ridiculous.
I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play. I mean, he'll play, but he's not going to play for that team next year. Okay. Let me pull up the video real quick. It's not going to be like, you know, too crazy, but here, let's go ahead and share my screen. Jarvis, can we pull this up, please? Thank you. Watch this man complain. The team sucks. He just can't do it anymore, man. Dallas has broken him. Fat women, barbecue, and bad football. The three things that caused this man to walk off the field early.
Dude, that's crazy, man. Look at that.
9 seconds left, 8 seconds left. And me personally, I would have kicked that little
That's what I thought I was gonna do. Pylon. I was about really to say thought, that. But I was like,
man, this video's gonna be crazy. This video's gonna be crazy if he kicks that pylon.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I don't know though, man. I mean, yeah. Micah.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. We got a statement from Micah Parsons because this guy loves live streaming.
Yep.
Micah Parsons said, "Damned if I do, damned if I don't. If I went over there and was all laughing with the competition after we lost like that, a lot of people would be mad." Okay, that's a good point. I'm not gonna lie.
That's one of the best things Micah's ever said.
Yeah, because look, if you're happy, people are gonna be like, "Look, this guy doesn't care." You leave, at least it does show that, like, you care too much, you know?
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's a
tough look for the Cowboys, man. They're in shambles. Mm-hmm. There's always next year, though, right? Next year is your year.
Next year is the year. Next year is the year. And look, man, hey, for me, there isn't going to be a next year. This is my last year. I'm, of course, talking about fantasy football because playoffs are here, baby. We're here. That's all of our news we have. Let's move into fantasy. Ant, you are the only person that made the playoffs. You must have had a great win this week, moving into the playoffs, going out in style. Tell me about your week. How'd you do? I'm curious. I didn't watch too much fantasy.
Right. Okay. So I lost to you. Actually.
Weird.
I was kind of hoping that, you know, you just kind of maybe like put like another player on your bench besides your defense until Tyler said, "Hey, put a defense in," you know.
Ironically, I would have beaten you with no defense still.
You would have, actually. You absolutely would have, because Jake Ferguson is a bum. But anyways, let's just get into it real quick. So, you know, I ended up regular season 7-7, fifth player overall in the league. Lost to Keaton 103-113. I'm in playoffs, like you said. First round for me is going to be against Mitchell, so that should be
You're cooked, brother.
Hey, never say never, man. There's hope, there's light. But best player, Kyler Murray with pretty much 18 points. Worst player was Jake Ferguson, like I said. And my most mid player was literally everyone else. Let me tell you guys this. The most amount of points out of my mid players, which was Saquon Barkley, by the way, 14.4 points. After that, everyone else got within the range of that and 10 points, except for Elijah Moore, because I had to sub him in because Ladd McConkey was out. So he had 6.3 or something like that, or 6.4. But still, it just wasn't good. The team didn't show up. Kamara didn't play as good against the Giants as like I wanted to. Same with Saquon, not enough against Carolina. So that was a little bit disappointing for me. But T. Lou ended up losing to Alex, who lost by 5 points because he misclicked and put in Breece Hall instead of putting him on his bench. And that's
insane.
And that is how
I get all time fumble.
I caused that. By the way, I rattled him going into that game, and he picked up the. I kept joking with him that he intentionally threw and made him throw again. For those who don't know, Tyler Lewis, a couple years ago, one of our buddies plays in fantasy. We introduced this thing called a toilet bowl, where it's the reverse playoffs. You win and you're out of the toilet bowl. You continue losing. The worst loser doesn't have to be the worst record. Basically has to do the punishment. So it's not just the worst record. It gives everyone something to fight for. Tyler said we didn't inform him of this, even though we were talking about it for weeks, decided on the last game to intentionally not play anybody on his roster, lost, and then refused to do the punishment. I gave him a bunch of shit this weekend about it, and then he forgot to set his players. I'm just saying, maybe some of that Chiefs dark voodoo magic was in my fingertips that day.
Real quick, though, I do want to point that out real quick since we're on the topic of fantasy and T. Lou.
Sure.
By the way, if you guys remember correctly from that game when he benched everyone, he would have won. And he would not have even had to do the punishment. He would have actually won. But instead, he decided to still bench everyone, and he ended up losing. And
sorry, Tyler, if you're watching this, bitch made.
You're bitch.
Sorry.
Leaner.
You were bitch made for that game.
So basically, all in all, I got in playoffs truly by luck. So
Yeah. What's funny is I could have killed you if Tyler didn't do that. I would have been your downfall. I played Ant. I beat him. Obviously, we already know that score. I actually am in the toilet bowl. I love it. It's actually kind of fun to be in there. Less stress to be in the toilet bowl, my opinion. I play Tyler, so I pray to God I whoop his ass. My best player, Kyren Williams. That guy has been, I don't know what to call it. He's been decent, but hey. This week he played great. Jake Elliott was my worst player. I'm sorry, Kyren Williams had 23 points. Great, great performance for the guy. Worst player, Jake Elliott, 1 point man. God damn it, I can't keep trusting you. The Eagles and a kicker doesn't work well.
He's been asked.
My most mid player is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know what's going on the last couple weeks, but he hasn't really been getting that many targets. That offense hasn't looked as dynamic as of late, despite their box score. I think they're starting to use a little bit more of the run game. And they've got this new receiver. I want to look up his name. Number 17 Lions, excuse me, Tim Patrick. This guy has literally come out of nowhere and he is absolutely cooking as much as he can be. He has played all 12 games. He's 31 years old. He
played for the Broncos. They cut him.
Yeah, they cut him. He hasn't played in two seasons. He hasn't played in two seasons. Torn ACL and torn Achilles, same thing. He has played 12 games this year and has only 349 yards and two touchdowns. But over the last couple games, he's ramping it up. Three receptions, four receptions, two receptions, six receptions. Had two touchdowns in his last game against Green Bay. The guy's starting to catch a little bit of fire. Hence why Amon-Ra St. Brown is stepping off. I will say this one thing, Jonnu Smith, you're my savior. Jonnu Smith going into the game to overtime with the Dolphins had like no points.
Oh my God.
Literally had 0 points. Zero points. And I was like, man, is this guy even playing? And immediately during overtime, four targets, three catches for like 60 yards and a touchdown. And got 13.4 points to put me in the lead. So couldn't ask for a better week from that guy.
So angry.
Toilet bowl time, man. Zach, You had one of the most meaningless wins anyone could have for your
record. Let me talk about this just because I have a couple of crazy stats. Number one, that is my first 30-point scorer of the year.
Wow.
That is also the highest that I've scored all year. And I beat Isaac 147.68 to 118.86. I am in the toilet bowl, and unfortunately, I have a bye. So, like Keaton said, the more that you lose, the more that you go on. And it's basically the opposite of like a typical playoff bracket where first and second seed get a bye. The first or the worst team and the second worst team get a bye. So Diego, who is 0-13, I believe it is.
Oh my God, he might 14, skunk.
Excuse me. He has a bye as the 12th seed, the worst seed. And I, as the 11th seed, also have a bye as 6-8. And this is how the bracket goes. You can't really see it very well, but that's me down there. That's Diego. These are the teams fighting to play us. So I have a bye, which means I only have two chances of winning. I got nothing to say other than I'm just preparing to eat some spicy ass wings because there is a high possibility that my team chokes and I make it to the championship. It could be Diego against the SoCal Bears. Yeah. I'm just saying it now. My best player, I said, Sam Darnold, first 30-point score of the year, 34.58 points. Blake Rupi, you fucking suck. Fuck you. You had 0 points. And TJ Hawkinson, every week I start you, you have 8 points. The rest of them, you have 16 or more. I can't fucking do it with you.
Yeah.
So, that's my team. That's been fantasy this year. I only made the playoffs in one of the four leagues. Just brutal year.
I think I made one of my leagues. I don't know. I haven't been paying attention.
Yep.
Ant. Well, let me just preface. That's our end of fantasy. Ant, do you have a crazy stat? Fantasy. I do.
I have a crazy fantasy stat, actually.
Okay, go ahead, Queen. Pop off.
So we're talking Ja'Marr Chase. He had one hell of a game. We had one hell of a game yesterday. You know, we all saw it. Fantasy point wise, he dropped a 40 bomb, almost a 50 bomb, right?
Something like that.
So according to Sleeper, which is for those who don't know what Sleeper is, is the fantasy app that we all use. So it says right here, 0.4% of teams on Sleeper finish the regular season undefeated. Okay. 29.5% of those teams had Ja'Marr Chase on their team.
That's crazy.
0.4? We've never been in the league ever where someone's been undefeated going to the playoffs.
0.4% of teams on Sleeper finished.
Some of those leagues, man, they got to be just fucking going against AI. Like,
it's got to be like six man leagues.
But that is crazy. That is nuts.
It is crazy. Yeah. It is crazy.
Ja'Marr Chase, man, triple crowner. I'm telling you, he's going to do it. Those teams. He's been going nuts. I mean, he's averaging 25 a fucking game.
Ja'Marr Chase, MVP fantasy? Fantasy MVP?
Yes.
Man, that's a perfect segue.
Take one.
That's a perfect segue. My crazy stat, talking about MVPs, it's gonna be a little bit of like a, you know, doesn't matter too much. Right now, Saquon Barkley now leads the league in 14 rushing plays getting stopped at the 1 yard line. Okay. Believe that or not, I'm not disrespecting how good he's been, but the brotherly shove. Wait.
So you're telling me this man can have 11 more touchdowns?
Yep. No, 14 plays. Stopped at the 1 yard line. 14
more touchdowns?
Stopped at the 1 yard 14 line.
14 more fucking touchdowns, Ant.
Just saying, dude. Think about the stats that guy could have had.
Man,
it's just crazy because even the last game from this past week, right? I was watching that game. It came up in the red zone. I legit watched him go down, and I was like, "Oh my god, he got a touchdown!" And then they marked him at the 1 yard line. I was all like,
"Hey, that was one of the 14, dude."
That was so
So pissed. Seriously.
Only needs three more.
Jalen.
Freaking Jalen Hurts, who can't throw a ball to save his life.
God, he can run it in.
He's playing good football. All right. Well, listen. That's it. That's it, man. That's our week. Week 14. Let's go into week 15, huh? Okay. Let's go into week 15, shall we? Thursday night football. You know what? We got a banger. Rams at 49ers. God damn it. Please let the 49ers win this game. I'm begging you. I've never wanted to win so bad in my life.
I'm telling you, bro. This game's going to be close. I'm taking the 49ers.
I've got the 49ers.
I don't know why I am. I'm just going to do it.
Didn't you say you weren't going to take them?
Good point.
Realistically, I think that I shouldn't take them because of last week and because I do want a higher draft pick, because even if we do get in the playoffs, I don't see us beating most of the NFC teams, if not any. So technically, Rams, I'd be okay with you guys winning. But for my mental health and for the rest of the week, and just because you're my roommate, I would highly suggest that you pick the 49ers and want the 49ers to win, because if they lose, there might be a beating going on. Nice. You and white fucking Santa.
Well, in that case, give me the fucking Rams, baby. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Give me the 49ers, honestly. I think they'll
end up winning. Yeah, no, seriously.
For Seattle?
I have no reason.
Pray for a Rams loss.
Seriously, I don't have a reason as to why I think the 49ers are going to win. I just have a feeling they're going to. I don't think that they're going to lose four division games.
No.
Like, to me, that just sounds insane.
Nope. One to every team.
Five. I should say
one
five.
One to every team. Yeah, yeah, we are. Yeah, they've already lost one to every team.
Exactly.
Well, that's our Thursday night game. Let's move into Sunday. Patriots at Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Okay. All right. Ravens at Giants.
Ravens.
It's also Giants are the only team to not win on their home soil this year, by the way. So let's keep that streak going. Yep.
Oh my God.
Jets at Jags.
Holy shit.
Jets at Jags. Holy moly. I'm going to take the Jets.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take the Jets as well.
Jets have almost won a couple games this year, last couple weeks. So I'm going to give them a favorable matchup.
Jets are so bad.
I know. And the Jets are unfortunately a little bit better than the record. Yeah. I agree. Okay, Cowboys at Panthers.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what?
Give me the fucking Panthers.
Give me the Panthers.
Give me the Panthers. Bryce Young, baby.
Come on. Yeah.
Let's rejuvenation, baby. Commanders at Saints.
Dude.
Do I
want to take a gritty win with the Saints?
I just don't know if I'm going to go there. I'm going to take the Commanders. I have to.
I have to go Commanders, too. I cannot pick the Saints.
But I could see it. Darren Reezy is a 3-1. 3-1.
Hold on.
Derek Carr is also out, by the way. So
I don't care.
Yep.
Okay. Commanders. Okay. Oh God, dude. We have some really shitty matchups.
This Bengals is a horrible fucking week.
Bengals at Titans.
Jesus. Give me the Bengals. Give me Joe Shiesty.
Yeah. I don't think Will Levis is going to do anything. Is Will Levis playing? It doesn't matter.
He's questionable right now.
I'm sorry. It's just that offense is too good for the Titans.
That seems to be like a 24-23 game. I'll go with the Bengals, not confidently. Both these teams are just brutal.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's my first upset of the week. Chiefs at Browns. I'm taking the Browns.
Yeah. The voodoo magic continues. Give me the Chiefs. There's just no way. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
Well, hopefully the devil will stay away from the shit brown field, and that way the voodoo magic wouldn't work with the Chiefs. So I'm gonna take the Browns. You know,
wow.
I mean, that's I think that's what I'm gonna go with here.
Nice. Okay, Dolphins at Texans. This will be a decent game.
Honestly, give me the Dolphins on this. I don't want the Dolphins. I'm gonna take the Dolphins.
I'm gonna take the Texans. I know I picked them to be in the playoffs. We can't pick all the same teams. So give me the Texans, because why not? Sure. Okay, here, getting into our afternoon slates. Last couple games we got for route. Colts at
Broncos. Okay, this is where actually gets good.
Yeah. Colts at Broncos.
Give me the Broncos.
The Broncos.
Yeah. This is our Colts. This is our team. I choose them.
Okay.
All right. Give me the Colts. Bills at Lions. This is a banger.
Game of the week. This is the game of the week right here.
Please be.
This is a banger. And I know bangers.
Please be a Super Bowl preview. I'm taking the Bills though. Yeah. I know that they're going to be pissed. The Lions have not been clicking on offense. I got the Bills.
I think lowish scoring game, like in the 20s. I mean, lowish, I guess you want to call it. But I'm going to go close game, and it's going to be the Bills.
I'm going to say the opposite. I'm going to say there's a high scoring game, and I'm going to take the Lions. So
okay.
Bucks at Chargers. This will be a low. This is going to be a low scoring game. Yeah, this is going to be a banger.
Give me the Chargers though.
Give me the Bucks. I need Baker. I need Baker to just do one more good game. That's it, and he can retire. My team.
I think I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think Chargers are going to lock down Mike Evans.
Okay. Steelers at Eagles. Now this is a game.
This is a banger. Hey, you guys were talking about these two coaches, by the way. You guys were talking about them. You both.
Yep.
We owed them both.
Probably the two coaches. Coach of the year candidates.
That we owe apologies to.
Yep.
I'm going the Eagles.
I'm going to go with the Eagles as well, mainly because I do want Saquon to kind of go off this week, but for fantasy, that's the only reason why.
I doubt he does. This is like the one defense I wouldn't expect him to go.
Yeah.
Hey, Russell Wilson with a good game, though. Maybe give him a Pro Bowl nod. I don't know. Packers at Seahawks. Sunday night football matchup.
Man, it's going to be a good game.
Look, I'll tell you what.
49ers playoff stakes. I hope that the Packers win. I have a feeling the Seattle Seahawks are going to pull it out.
If the Seahawks win, historically they're good against this team. The Seahawks win, man. I will give the biggest, fattest, wettest apology to that fan base. My fan base. Because I said that they're going to be mid. I think they're going to win, dude. I'm sorry. I really do. That defense, not going to lie. That defense, the stats don't lie. They're a top four defense in football right now.
Okay. I want to say this. My gut is telling me Seattle. My heart is telling me the Packers, because if Seattle wins, we have zero chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Seattle, though. I just feel like they're going to win.
I'm going to go with Seattle as well. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. Defense has looked very well. Hang on. Give me a second. Defense has looked good. All right. Defense has looked very good. All right. These past few weeks. Absolutely. You know, you got Brett Favre 2.0 out there as well. That's not a good combo out there for the
guaranteed interception.
They just gave
two interceptions on top.
They just
of
gave
that,
Kyler team. Murray some work.
They did.
On and top Aaron Rodgers.
Geno Smith. He is
balling. Turn it around a little bit. Turn it around
he's
a little bit.
He's been playing good football.
I'm telling you, bro.
Zach Charbonnet. Shout out you, man.
They match up well against the Packers.
Yes, they do.
I will say, I didn't scream no because of what you were saying. I screamed no because of what's happening next. Fuck this.
Monday Night Football. We have another. We thought we had it worse last night, or couple nights ago, if you're watching on Thursday, which you are, hopefully, with the Simpsons, Lisa Simpson cooking people out of fantasy playoffs, we now have a dual slate Monday night game. Games, plural.
Again. And there's
Bears
shit.
At Vikings.
Not again.
Bears Vikings. At Vikings. Come on. Bears, you got to be one of the worst teams to ever grace the football fields. Falcons at Raiders is our last game. Dude, I'm not going to lie. If Kirk Cousins doesn't throw a touchdown, he might be gone after the season.
Yep.
So give me the Falcons. I think Kirk Cousins is playing for the starting job this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Well, listen, fellas. That's our week. Let's go ahead and plug some stuff, because we have some – I won't be able to attend, but we got some stuff going on. Our second annual Settle Down Award show is happening. Fellas, what's the move with that? What time is it starting, so everybody knows? Give us Eastern Standard Time.
8 p.m. Mountain Time, because that's what we're posting.
10 p.m. Eastern.
But if you guys have not voted already, we have a link in our bio to vote for a bunch of the awards that will be given out. And we will also be doing awards where we were picked randomly to give a person opposite of yourself, so not yourself, just a random award, funny, good, bad, whatever it is. So I have Anthony. Anthony has me. Keaton, I did have an award for you. Fuck it. I'll just say it now. I was going to say you were most likely to leave a group chat for no reason.
Yep. That fits the bill.
But that fits the bill.
I love it.
Maybe I do mention it because, you know, you're a good sport about it. But
yeah that fits it. The bill.
Yeah, Mountain Time. We also will be spinning a wheel, taking some shots, drinking a little bit. So come and hang out, man. We are excited.
Tipsy. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if I can catch on. We'll see if I can get on with it.
I will say last year we got a bit drunk, so hopefully it's not like that. But
yeah. Last year I spilled on my PC.
We would love for you to come. But if you guys are listening to this, 8 p.m. Mountain Time today, because it drops on Thursday. So we will see you there.
Okay. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching this episode of the In the End Zone podcast. We'll see you next week.
Please like, subscribe, and comment. Peace.
Deuce. Bitch.
Bitch.
They blitz. Stafford sees it. Nakua gets a block. He might go.